Welcome to Money Talk with MFLN Personal Finance. This podcast series offers brief recaps of our recent online professional development webinars targeted at personal finance managers and extension educators who work with military service members. I'm Molly Herndon, Program Coordinator for the Personal Finance Team, and I'm joined by Money Talk herself, Dr. Barbara O'Neill. Dr. O'Neill is a distinguished professor in the School of Environmental and Biological Sciences at Rutgers University and is the Rutgers Cooperative Extension Specialist in Financial Resource Management. Good morning, Dr. O'Neill. How are you?
I'm doing fine, Molly.
Great. This morning, we're going to talk about employment opportunities for military families. It was our webinar that was held in October, and the webinar really focused on resources for military spouses. So what retirement savings options work best for military spouses who may have sporadic employment?
Yeah, well, that's a big issue with military spouses because often the family has to uproot itself every time there's a PCS. And of course, that means having to leave a job and perhaps, start a new one somewhere else. So retirement savings can suffer. So some strategies for military families to consider, one would be a spousal IRA. And of course, that's available to any family, whether they're civilian or military. So if you have a married couple and one spouse is employed, so for example, the service member, and the other one maybe is in between jobs, the employed spouse can set aside money for the at-home spouse and fund not only their own personal IRA, but also their spouse's IRA up to the limits of tax law. So that's a good strategy for people. Also, once people do have employment, they can certainly look into an IRA for themselves. And if their employer has some kind of tax-deferred plan, a 401k or a 403b plan, something of that sort, would be good. And then people can always save for retirement in taxable accounts, accounts that are not part of any kind of tax-deferred plan, but maybe they're earmarking them for retirement.
Okay, well, what about entrepreneurs? What savings options are out for entrepreneurs who are self-employed, military spouses that might be self-employed? What options do they have?
Well, I thought the webinar was really good, and I encourage people to look at it because they really talk quite a bit about different support services that can help people with entrepreneurship. So once people are established in their freelance work or their small business or whatever type of self-employment they're doing, they can look into what they call a SEP IRA, a Simplified Employee Pension Plan, and that enables them to save up to 20% of the net income from their business in this retirement savings plan. And then, of course, with self-employment income, that's any type of income is eligible for a regular IRA as well. And that's another viable option for people.
Okay. Well, what about the blended retirement system? How is that going to impact military spouses' retirement savings?
Well, I think it's more of an indirect impact because obviously it's the service member themselves that is in the blended retirement system. But the choices that that service member makes obviously impacts the military spouse. So probably the best thing that the service member can do is to fully maximize the savings opportunities that they have under the Thrift Savings Plan, because under the blended retirement system, the defined benefit portion is going to be less than it was previously under the legacy system. So it's relying on people saving more on their own through the Thrift Savings Plan. So the more that the service member can do that, the more it will benefit not only the service member, but obviously their military spouse as well.
Okay. What budgeting strategies do you recommend for military families who anticipate having an unemployed spouse after a relocation?
Well, I think one strategy is to do what I recommend for a lot of people who have volatile incomes is to build up what I call a buffer or a holding account. And this is a little bit different than an emergency fund because an emergency fund is kind of a lot of unexpected things, cars breaking down, appliances breaking down, that kind of thing. Many times the emergencies are unknown You know something might happen, but you never know what will happen or when. But in this case, you kind of know that you will be moving frequently and perhaps having some interruptions in a spouse's employment. So setting up a buffer or a holding account where you might have some money that you just set aside from the peak times because you know that there's going to be some lean times down the road when there's a relocation. Certainly scaling down expenses is important. You know, if you can kind of cut back a little bit on expenses. And it doesn't necessarily have to be in a deprivation kind of way. For example, I volunteer at a thrift shop. And right now we're having 50% off on all our clothes. But in a few months, we'll be having a bag sale where you can literally fill up a bag, a big bag, with clothes. And if you roll them up right, you can get 50 different clothing items into a bag. So you're talking about buying a piece of clothing for 10 cents a piece. So there are still a lot of creative ways that people can get things, but at a lower price point. So scaling down expenses, possibly seeking out support services that can help the family kind of readjust during that period when there's a reduced income. I know there are many support services on military installations that can help service members and their families. Also, don't assume that the job necessarily has to end with the PCS, right? Because these days, so many people are telecommuting. I mean, look at you, Molly. Technically, yeah. You're employed by the University of Florida, but you live in North Carolina.
Yes.
So why couldn't a military spouse explore that option with their employer as well? If they're particularly valued in their company and they have a skill set that's transferable from one location to another, it might just very well be that they can continue their employment from a remote location. And then finally, another option for families with a reduced income might be just exploring public benefits if they qualify. You know, these benefits can help to provide a stream of income at a time when income has been reduced.
Okay. Yeah, those are great tips. So let's talk quickly about side hustles. How can military spouses make contract work or multiple side gigs work in their favor?
Well, again, they may want to start out with their current employer. Perhaps if they can't stay on as an employee in a remote sense, they could be hired back as a consultant contractor. So always start out with the people that you know in previous jobs, in the current job, and explore some opportunities to perhaps be working as a consultant. Social media is really important. So I just put together actually a webinar just before I started. It's actually a workshop for urban farmers here in New Jersey, and we're going to be talking about all the different ways that they can create visibility for their business. And social media is key, and just having great images in your social media and having a strategy of posting on a regular basis is really important. Certainly support networks are important. For example, AFCPE has that wonderful military spouse fellows group that has really bonded over the years and become a real good support network for spouses of service members. And then finally, maybe some local networks in their new communities, chambers of commerce, for example, might be a good place to reach out and make contacts as well.
Wonderful. Well, thank you so much. And as Barbara O'Neill said, you should really check out the recording of this webinar, Employment Opportunities for Military Families. Thank you so much, Dr. O'Neill.
You're quite welcome, Molly.
Thank you for listening today. You can find this recording and archived episodes of the Money Talk podcast, as well as an upcoming calendar of professional development events, blog posts targeted at military service providers, and more on our website at militaryfamilieslearningnetwork.org.